samadvotis. Jai Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Once while they were engaged in their transcendental pastimes, a great demon of the name Pralambasura entered their company, desiring to kidnap both Balaram and Krishna. Although Krishna was playing the part of a cowherd boy as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can understand everything, past, present, and future. So when Pralambasura entered their company, Krishna began to think how to kill the demon. But externally, he received him as a friend. "Oh, my dear friend," he said, "it is very good that you have come to take part in our pastimes." Krishna then called all the friends and ordered them, "Now we shall play in pairs. We shall challenge one another in pairs." With this proposal, all the boys assembled together. Some of them took the side of Krishna, and some of them took the side of Balaram. And they arranged to play in duel. The defeated members in duel fighting had to carry the victorious members on their backs. They began playing, and at the same time tended the cows as they proceeded through the Vrindavan, Bandiravan forest. The party of Balaram, accompanied by Sridhama and Vrishabha, came out victorious, and Krishna's party had to carry them on their backs through the Bandiravan forest. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, being defeated, had to carry Sridhama on his back, and Bhadrasena carried Vrishabha, imitating their play. Pralambasura, who appeared there as a cowherd boy, carried Balaram on his back. Pralambasura was the greatest of the demons, and he had calculated that Krishna was the most powerful of the cowherd boys. In order to avoid the company of Krishna, Pralambasura carried Balaram far away. The demon was undoubtedly very strong and powerful, but he was carrying Balaram, who was compared with a mountain, therefore. He began to feel the burden, and thus he assumed his real form. When he appeared in his real feature, he was decorated with a golden helmet and earrings, and looked just like a cloud with lightning carrying the moon. Balaram observed the demon's body expanding up to the limits of the clouds, his eyes dazzling like blazing fire and his mouth flashing with sharpened teeth. At first, Balaram was surprised by the demon's appearance and he began to wonder, how is it that all of a sudden this carrier has changed in every way? But with a clear mind, he would quickly understand that he was being carried away from his friends by a demon who intended to kill him. Immediately, he struck the head of the demon with his strong fist, just as the king of the heavenly planets strikes a mountain with his thunderbolt. Being stricken by the fist of Balaram, the demon fell down dead just like a snake with a smashed head, and blood poured from his mouth. When the demon fell, he made a tremendous sound, and it sounded as if a great hill were falling upon being struck by the thunderbolt of King Indra. All the boys then rushed to the spot. Being astonished by the ghastly scene, they began to praise Balaram with the words, "Well done! Well done!" All of them then began to embrace Balaram with great affection, thinking that he had returned from death. And they offered their blessings and congratulations. All the demigods in the heavenly planets became very satisfied and showered flowers on the transcendental body of Balaram. And they also offered their blessings and congratulations for his having killed the great demon, Pralambasura. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 18th chapter of Krishna, Killing the Demon, Pralambasura. Here's another pastime. Later on, it's the pastime of Krishna defeats all the princes. Chapter, right after Krishna kidnaps Rukmini, chapter 53. After this, in order to pacify her, Lord Balaram said to Rukmini, they had just, let me back up a little and I'll. While Krishna was dealing with Rukmini in this way, the soldiers of the Yadu dynasty, commanded by Balaram himself, broke the whole strength of Rukmini's army just as an elephant in a tank discards the feeble stem of a lotus flower. In other words, as an elephant breaks the whole construction of a lotus flower while bathing in the reservoir of water, so the military strength of the Yadus broke up Rukmi's forces. Yet when the commanders of the Yadu dynasty came back to see Krishna, they were all surprised to see the condition of Rukmi. Lord Balaram became especially compassionate for his sister-in-law, who was newly married to his brother. In order to please Rukmini, Balaram personally untied Rukmi, and in order to further please her, Balaram, as the elder brother of Krishna, spoke some words of chastisement. "Krishna, your action is not at all satisfactory." He said, "This is an abomination, very much contrary to our family tradition. To cut someone's hair and shave his mustache and beard is almost comparable to killing him." Krishna had tied up Rukmini's brother, and cut his hair and shaved half his mustache and left him bound. So Balaram is chastising him and consoling Rukmini. "Whatever Rukmi might have been, he is now our brother-in-law, a relative of our family, and you should not have put him in such a condition." After this, in order to pacify her, Lord Balaram said to Rukmini, "You should not be sorry because your brother has been made very odd-looking. Everyone suffers or enjoys the results of his own actions." Lord Balaram wanted to impress upon Rukmini that she should not be sorry for the consequences suffered by her brother due to his actions. There was no need of being too affectionate toward such a brother. Lord Balaram again turned toward Krishna and said, "My dear Krishna, a relative, even though he commits such a blunder and deserves to be killed, should be excused. For when such a relative is conscious of his own fault, that consciousness itself is like death. Therefore, there is no need in killing him." He again turned toward Rukmini and informed her that the current duty of the Kshatriya in the human society is so fixed that according to the principles of fighting, one's own brother may become an enemy on the opposite side. A Kshatriya does not hesitate to kill his own brother. In other words, Lord Balaram wanted to instruct Rukmini that Rukmi and Krishna were right in not showing mercy to each other in the fighting, despite the family consideration that they happened to be brothers-in-law. Sri Balaram continued to inform Rukmini that Kshatriyas are typical emblems of the materialistic way of life. They become puffed up whenever there is a question of material acquisition. Therefore, when there is a fight between two belligerent Kshatriyas on account of kingdom, land, wealth, women, prestige, or power, they try to put one another into the most abominable condition. Balaram instructed Rukmini that her affection toward her brother Rukmi, who had created enmity with so many persons, was a perverse consideration befitting an ordinary materialistic person. Her brother's character was not at all adorable, considering his treatment towards other friends, and yet Rukmini, as an ordinary woman, was so affectionate towards him. He was not fit to be her brother, and still Rukmini was lenient toward him. Besides that, Balaram continued, the consideration that a person is neutral or is one's friend or enemy is generally made by persons who are in the bodily concept of life. Such foolish persons become bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. The spirit soul is of the same pure quality in any embodiment of matter, but those who are not sufficiently intelligent see only the bodily differentiations of men and animals, literates and illiterates, rich and poor, and so on, which cover the pure spirit soul. Such differentiation, observed purely on the basis of the body, is exactly like differentiation between fires in terms of the different types of fuel they consume. Whatever the size and shape of the fuel, there is no such variety of size and shape of the fire which comes out. Similarly, in the sky, there are no differences in size or shape. In this way, Balaram appeased them by his moral and ethical instructions. He stated further, this body is part of the material manifestation. The living entity or spirit soul being in contact with matter is transmigrating due to illusory enjoyment from one body to another, and that is known as material existence. This contact of the living entity with the material manifestation has neither integration or disintegration. My dear chaste sister-in-law, the spirit soul is, of course, the cause of this material body, as much as the sun is the cause of sunlight, eyesight, and the forms of material manifestation. The example of the sunshine and the material manifestation is very appropriate in the matter of understanding the living entity's contact with this material world. In the morning, there is sunrise, and the heat and light expand gradually throughout the whole day. The sun is the cause of all material production and shapes and forms. It is due to the sun that integration and disintegration of material elements take place. But as soon as the sun is set, the whole manifestation is no longer connected to the sun, which has passed from one place to another. When the sun passes from the eastern to the western hemisphere, the result of interaction due to the sunshine in the eastern hemisphere remains, but the sunshine itself is visible again on the western hemisphere. Similarly, the living entity accepts or produces different bodies and different bodily relationships in a particular circumstance. But as soon as he gives up the present body and accepts another, he has nothing to do with the former body. Similarly, the living entity has nothing to do with the next body which he accepts. He is always free from the contact of this bodily contamination. Therefore, the conclusion is that the appearance and disappearance of the body have nothing to do with the living entity as much as the waxing and waning of the moon have nothing to do with the moon. When there is waxing of the moon, we falsely think that the moon is developing. And when there is waning of the moon, we think that the moon is decreasing. Factually, the moon as it is always the same. It has nothing to do with such visible waxing and waning activities. Consciousness of material existence can be compared to sleeping and dreaming. When a man sleeps, he dreams of many non-factual happenings, and as a result of dreaming, he becomes subjected to different kinds of distresses and happinesses. Similarly, when a person is in the dreaming condition of material consciousness, he suffers the effects of accepting a body and giving it up again in material existence. Opposite to this material consciousness is Krishna consciousness. In other words, when a man is elevated to the platform of Krishna consciousness, he becomes free from this false conception of life. In this way, Sri Balaram instructed them in spiritual knowledge. He addressed his sister-in-law thus, "Sweet smiling Rukmini, do not be aggrieved by false motives caused by ignorance. Due to false notions only, one becomes unhappy. But this unhappiness is immediately removed by discussing the philosophy of actual life. Be happy on that platform." After hearing such enlightening instruction from Sri Balaram, Rukmini immediately became pacified, happy, and adjusted her mental condition, which was very much afflicted by seeing the degraded position of her brother, Rukmi. Now we'll go on to another section. We're going a little over time here, but everything was late. So Savas said we can go till a little after 8:30. We'll try to stop at 8:30 if we could finish these. This is, we'll go right to the main story here, the main event, which is chapter 12 in the second book, page 87, the deliverance of Dvidvida Gorilla. While Sukadeva Goswami continued to speak on the transcendental pastimes and characteristics of Lord Krishna, King Parikshit, upon hearing him, became more and more enthusiastic and wanted to hear further. Sukadeva Goswami next narrated the story of Dvidvida, the gorilla who was killed by Lord Balaram. This gorilla was a great friend of Bhaumasura, or Narakasura, who was killed by Krishna in connection with his kidnapping 16,000 princesses from all over the world. Dvidvida was the minister of King Sugriva. His brother, Mahinda, was also a very powerful gorilla king. When Dvidvida Gorilla heard the story of his friend Bhaumasura's being killed by Lord Krishna, he planned to create mischief throughout the country in order to avenge the death of Bhaumasura. His first business was to set fires in villages, towns, and industrial and mining places as well as the residential quarters of the mercantile men who were busy dairy farming and protecting cows. Sometimes he would uproot a big mountain and tear it to pieces. In this way, he created great disturbances all over the country, especially in the province of Kathwar. The city of Dwarka was situated in the Kathwar province, and because Lord Krishna used to live in this city, Dvaita specifically made it his target of disturbance. Dvaita was as powerful as 10,000 elephants. Sometimes he would go to the seashore, and with his powerful hands, he would create so much disturbance in the sea that he would overflood the neighboring cities and villages. Often he would go to the hermitages of great saintly persons and sages and cause a great disturbance by smashing their beautiful gardens and orchards. Not only did he create disturbances in that way, but sometimes he would pass urine and stool on their sacred sacrificial arena. He would thus pollute the whole atmosphere. He also kidnapped both men and women, taking them away from their residential places to the caves of the mountains. Putting them within the caves, he would close the entrances with large chunks of stone, like the bringi insect, which arrests and carries away many flies and other insects, and puts them within the holes of the trees where he lives. He thus regularly defied the law and order of the country. Not only that, but he would sometimes pollute the female members of many aristocratic families by forcibly raping them. While creating such great disturbances all over the country, sometimes he heard very sweet musical sounds from the Raivataka mountain, and so he entered that mountainous region. There he saw that Lord Balaram was present in the midst of many beautiful young girls, enjoying their company while engaged in singing and dancing. He became captivated by the beautiful features of Lord Balaram's body, each and every part of which was very beautiful, decorated as he was with a garland of lotus flowers. Similarly, all the young girls present, dressed and garlanded with flowers, exhibited much beauty. Lord Balaram seemed to be fully intoxicated from drinking the Varuni beverage, and his eyes appeared to be rolling in a drunken state. Lord Balaram appeared just like the king of the elephants in the midst of many she-elephants. This gorilla, by the name Dvaita, could climb up on the trees and jump from one branch to another. Sometimes he would jerk the branches, creating a particular type of sound, kila, kila, so that Lord Balaram was greatly distracted from the pleasing atmosphere. Sometimes Dvaita would come before the women and exhibit different types of caricatures. By nature, young women are apt to enjoy everything with laughter and joking. And when the gorilla came before them, they did not take him seriously, but simply laughed at him. However, the gorilla was so rude that even in the presence of Balaram, he began to show the lower part of his body to the women. And sometimes he would come forward to show his teeth while moving his eyebrows. He disrespected the woman even in the presence of Balaram. Lord Balaram's name suggests that he is not only very powerful, but that he takes pleasure in exhibiting extraordinary strength. So he took a stone and threw it at Dvaita. The gorilla, however, artfully avoided being struck by the stone. In order to insult Balaram, the gorilla took away the earthen pot in which the Varuni was kept. Dvaita, being thus intoxicated with his limited strength, began to tear off all the valuable clothes worn by Balaram and the accompanying young girls. He was so puffed up that he thought that Balaram could not do anything to chastise him, and he continued to offend Balaramaji and his companions. When Lord Balaram personally saw the disturbances created by the gorilla and heard that he already performed many mischievous activities all over the country, he became very angry and decided to kill him. Immediately he took his club in his hand. The gorilla could understand that now Balaram was going to attack him. In order to counterattack Balaram, he immediately uprooted a big oak tree, and with great force he came and struck at Balaram's head. Lord Balaram, however, immediately caught hold of the big tree and remained undisturbed, just like a great mountain. To retaliate, he took his club by the name of Sunanda and began to hit the gorilla with it. The gorilla's head was severely injured. Currents of blood flowed from his head with great force, but the stream of blood enhanced his beauty like a stream of liquid manganese coming out of a great mountain. The striking of Balaram's club did not even slightly disturb him. On the contrary, he immediately uprooted another big oak tree, and after clipping off all its leaves, he began to strike Balaram's head with it. But Balaram, with the help of his club, tore the tree to pieces. Since the gorilla was very angry, he took another tree in his hand and began to strike Lord Balaram's body. Again, Lord Balaram tore the tree to pieces, and the fight continued. Each time the gorilla would bring out a big tree to strike Balaram, Lord Balaram would tear the tree to pieces by the striking of his club. The gorilla Dudvida would clutch another tree from another direction and again attack Balaram in the same way. As a result of this continuous fighting, the forest became treeless. When no more trees were available, Dudvida took help from the hills and threw large pieces of stone like rainfall upon the body of Balaram. Lord Balaram, also in great sporting mood, began to smash those big pieces of stone into mere pebbles. The gorilla, being bereft of all trees and stone slabs, now stood before him and waved his strong fist. See, this was the beginning, I think, of baseball. Balaram had a club. Dvidvita gorilla was on the mound with his stones and rocks, and he was throwing him, and in the sporting mood, Balaram was pulverizing the rocks, the big boulders, into stones. Very interesting, 5,000 years ago. Since the gorilla was striking him with his hands, he could not... The gorilla being bereft of... Then with great force he began to beat the chest of Lord Balaram with his fist. This time Lord Balaram became most angry. Since the gorilla was striking him with his hands, he would not strike him back with his own weapons, the club or the plow. Simply with his fist he began to strike the collarbone of the gorilla. This striking proved to be fatal to Dvidvida, who immediately vomited blood and fell unconscious upon the ground. When the gorilla fell, it appeared that all the hills and forests tottered. After this horrible incident, all the siddhas, great sages, and saintly persons from the upper planetary system began to shower flowers on the person of Lord Balaram. And sounds glorifying the supremacy of Lord Balaram were vibrated. All of them began to chant, "All glories to Lord Balaram! All glories to Lord Balaram! All glories to Lord Balaram! Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet. By your killing the great demon Dvidvida, you have initiated an auspicious era for the whole world." All such jubilant sounds of victory were heard from outer space. After killing the great demon Dvidvida and being worshipped by the showers of flowers and gracious sounds of victory, Balaram returned to his capital city, Dwarka. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the second volume, 12th chapter of Krishna, Deliverance of Dvidvida Gorilla. So any question or discussion about Lord Balaram? We just wanted to read some few stories. They'll read more tonight. Throughout the day we can be reading 24-hour kirtan for Balaram, 24-hour discussion. And we'll have a sign-up sheet right on this pillar this afternoon starting for 24-hour kirtan for Krishna Janmashtami. And everyone should sign up for their hour or hour and a half. Shri Balaram Rasa Yatra Ki Jai. Maha Mahotsava Mahatiti Avirbhav Shri Balaram Maha Mahotsava Ki. Shri Balaram Rasa Yatra Ki. Gaur Pramananda Haribo. Dvidvida gorilla on the mountain. Dvidvida gorilla was the first pitcher. Okay.